ministry, a teen challenge. And also just to thank you for letting us join you in this house worshipping God. It's awesome, and we love coming here and being part of Elam. It's amazing. So, yes, come on. It's good, isn't it? I want to talk to you. I'm going to give you a wee brief history. A teen challenge, as much as I can remember the dates and stuff. But it goes back. In 1958, there was two gangs that joined together. These gangs were called the Egyptian Kings and the Dragons. They formed and became the Egyptian Dragons. And they were young boys. And they were up on murder charges and they were involved in drugs. And a preacher named David Wilkerson seen this. And God moved him. God said to him, you go there and you help these boys. So God was sending somebody again to speak to the Egyptians and bring his people to freedom. But when he got there, the drugs and the gangs in New York, it was rife. But David Wilkerson, he was referred to as the skinny preacher. And he goes and he stands before the leader of the most notorious gang in New York, the Mau Maus. And he's getting tell off this young guy who was vicious and involved in drugs. And he says, I'm going to cut you into 1,000 pieces. And he comes back with, that's cool, because I'm paraphrasing. I don't know if he said that's cool. But he said, that's cool. He said, because every piece will scream that Jesus loves you. Yeah. And let me tell you, from that, Teen Challenge was born. Yeah. The first Teen Challenge Center opened in Brooklyn, 1960, I believe. Don't quote me. And he went out there, and these gangs, you know, they were breeding grounds for the brokenhearted, because addiction is just brokenheartedness. So David Wilkerson started this ministry, and this ministry of Teen Challenge has grown and grown. 1973, the national headquarters. 1995, European Teen Challenge was born, TC Europe. In 1968, though, Teen Challenge came to the UK, and from that, Teen Challenge, see, unfortunately, there's a need, and the evil of addiction, the heartache of addiction has spread through our nation, it's spreading throughout the world, but see, God's raising up. And our ministry is raising up Teen Challenge to combat us. See, our mission statement is to put hope within reach of every addict. And that's what Teen Challenge is doing. And it's doing it through the centres that it's got spread throughout the UK. It's got outreach ministries. It's got bus ministries. It's got drop-in centres in villages, towns and cities throughout this nation. In 2002, dare I say it, one of the best Teen Challenge centres ever to be. Well, I didn't want to say that, but I agree with you, Gordon. It is the best. Whitchester House. Whitchester House is set in the Scottish Borders, Duns, on top of a mountain. It's a lighthouse. It's a lighthouse. It's a safe haven. It's a place where the brokenhearted go to get fixed. It's. If you've got a broken heart, take it to the manufacturer. And he will restore it, but he promises to give us a new one. And that's what Teen Challenge does. We don't have answers against addiction. We don't have, we don't know the answers, but we know the guy that does. So we point the guys that come to our centre towards God. And let me tell you, Teen Challenge is just the greatest ministry. I'm biased. For me, it's the greatest ministry because it saved me. It saves my brothers. It's saving women and men all over the world. But see, it doesn't just save the individual. See, it reaches far and wide. Through Teen Challenge, we're touching families. Fathers are getting the chance to be just that, fathers, not addicts. See, their status is, the world will tell them you're an addict. And that's what you are. But God's like, no, you're my son. But you're also a father to another one of my children, so you get up and do your job, and I'm going to help you. And the power of the Holy Spirit moves through Teen Challenge in such a powerful way. It is awesome. It is really awesome. You know, God is restoring daughters. He restores sons. He restores fathers and mothers, brothers, sisters. He is moving in such a powerful way through that ministry of Teen Challenge. I love it. At Whitchester House, you know, we've got guys coming in, and they come in broken, and they come in full of fear and loneliness. And, you know, we just offer them the love of God and say, you know, just love these people back to life. Because that's what addiction is. It's just you're walking dead. A wee bit about me and my story. I started taking drugs at 10. I was a terrible wee show-off. And I looked for acceptance from my pals, even though I had a family who were just willing to pour love on me, you know. But my drugs, it progressed from doing it for acceptance into doing it because I had to. By the age of 14, I had injected. I had taken heroin. I'd tried pretty much all drugs. And my life just turned into chaos. My family was torn apart. I had transitioned from being a son to an addict. That was what I seen myself as. That is what people seen me as. And that is the life that I led. 2006, went to Teen Challenge. I'm a slow learner. You see, I left and I turned my back on the truth that was revealed to me there, that God loves me. And I ended up back in my addiction for years with that wee whispering voice, the enemy saying, "See, you've tried God, but he couldn't help you because look where you're at, you're back in my hands." So I prayed for death because I thought nobody could help me. Teen Challenge wouldn't have me back. Nobody would have me back. I was worthless, so I prayed for death. And I thought, "God, man, you're cruel because I keep waking up." So I prayed for death and I prayed for death. And God says, "All right, I'll answer your prayer. We're going to put that old man to death again and I'm going to bring you into new life." And he led me back to Teen Challenge. He's good, man. He led me back to Teen Challenge. And this time, I gave everything. See, God's like, "I don't want much from you. I just want everything. And I'm going to give you eternity." Because the everything that I had, I didn't want it. It was just brokenheartedness, loneliness, shame and guilt and fear and all those horrible things. And God's like, "Well, give me them. See, I'm going to give you purpose. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you love and I'm going to give you forgiveness. I'm going to give you life abundant." I love that life abundant, more than life. It's awesome, isn't it? And not only that, I went from being an addict who just craved death and nobody wanted. And then I realized the truth, man, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I am a masterpiece. I'm the pinnacle of God's creation. People are saying, "Look at the stars." And God's like, "That's all right, look at Chris." Do you know what I mean? When I realized that truth, that I'm loved beyond measure. And when I went and I heard somebody say that we can love that way, that through God's love coming out of us, that we can love that way. And I've went from, dare I say, being a cuddly chef, the boys would say half a cook, in Teen Challenge. I became a support worker, and recently God's blessed me, and I've moved up. I'm working more closely with the guys as an acting senior. And I had this plan. I was like, right, 3 years. John asked me to write my goals down. I was like, 3 years down the line, boom, that'll be where I'm at. And God's like, "Well, I'm just going to bless the socks off you." And them dreams and them goals are coming true. I was just home with my wee mammy down the port. I was down Port Glasgow there with my wee mammy. And she gave me a wee card. And there was 20 quid in it. And I was like, "I don't need that." I tell you what, she nearly fell off her chair. I says, "There you go." I says, "I don't want that. The card's enough." Just being allowed to come into this house. And for me to be, not because I was always her son. I was always a wee boy, but for me to be able to say, "I'm a son again. I'm a son again." My wee mammy was greeting. So was I. I was greeting too. I like a good greet. But it was just beautiful, and it made me think, man, how far God has taken me. And as I'm sitting there, I'm going, "That's enough, God, that's enough." And he's like, No. "I'll tell you when it's enough. When you're up here with me. Right now, I'm just going to keep blessing the socks off you." And he just loves it, and my heart's bursting. It went from just being broken and full of pain and misery, and now it's full of life and joy, and it's just busting. I love it. And at Teen Challenge, you know, it's where I'm supposed to be. And we're out there, and we're putting hope within reach of every addict. And not within reach of every addict, but within every broken family. Every mother who is just shedding tears. Every father who doesn't know what to do. Every son who's lost a mom or dad. God is restoring. He is restoring and redeeming, and he's bringing his children back to life. It's amazing. So I just thank you for listening. But I'm going to introduce Paul. Paul Farrell is one of the guys on the program. We're going to hear with Paul.
Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity that's come before me to, Lord, share a little bit about myself, Lord, and thanks for Gordon for having us today. Amen. Hello, my name is Paul. I'm 33 years old and I'm from Dublin. I come from a small Catholic family, so you won't hear that very often. When I was young, I had a lot of energy. I was hyper and I was a promising footballer when I was young, and I challenged all my energy into that. But then when I was about 14, I was drinking and I was smoking hash, and they call hash a gateway drug, and it absolutely is. After hash, I started taking ecstasy and cocaine after that, and I fell in love with cocaine, and I was just crazy on that. But I always used to seem to land on my feet, no matter what I'd done, and I've travelled the world, and I've been in some crazy places, but I've never had a job. So it was just crazy lifestyle, and when I come back from Australia, I found this drug called heroin, and that was it. I found my life's calling. I'd say, that's it, I love this, I'm on this forever. It was crazy, and heroin, when you begin heroin, you become a professional heartbreaker. I broke my mother's heart, my father's heart, my sister, my brother, family, friends, but most importantly, I broke my own heart. I was just absolutely a mess. I couldn't deal with myself. I was depressed, I was suicidal. So February this year, I was released from jail after serving a substantial sentence for armed robbery. Within 3 months of getting out of jail, I was homeless on the streets of Dublin. I was a mess. I tried to kill myself. My life was that messed up, I couldn't even kill myself properly. I woke up and I was just, I remember waking up, and I woke up from trying to kill myself, and I was so hungry, I hadn't eaten 6 days. And I rang my sister, a 32-year-old man, crying to his big sister to bring him something for E. So she picked me up, and I'll never forget the look of her on my auntie's face when they picked me up. I was weighing about 8 stone, or scabs on my face from smoking crack. And it was just a mess, and my auntie just brought me home. And from that moment, I got the ball rolling to go to Teen Challenge. And so when I came to Teen Challenge, people always ring John or Chris to the Teen Challenge saying, help me, help me, help me. But when they get there, they don't even actually want to help some people. They just fight against everything. And I was one of them people. I just, for some reason, I didn't want to be there. And I found it hard. And when people used to ask me in Teen Challenge how I was feeling, I used to say, I'm grand. But inside, my heart was broken. And I couldn't tell them that, because men, we're not supposed to show emotions like that. It doesn't bother us. We're men. But inside, I was heartbroken. People used to tell me, like, read the scriptures, it'll jump out with you. And I used to say, hey, brother, yeah, no problem, mate. So I was reading, we do a quiet time every morning in the house, and you read it. And I flicked it open one morning, and I landed on this bit of scripture. It was Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And I was like, wow, man, people, that's actually true. As Chris was saying, addiction is just someone who wants to fill a broken heart. You can try fill that with drugs, drink, gambling, porn, whatever your thing is. But the only thing that can fill that broken heart is Jesus. He's the only one that can fill that broken heart for me. You know? So since then, there's a scripture as well that used to bug me in the Bible. You know, it was 1 Peter 5a. Be alert and self-controlled. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. And the minute you take your eyes off God or put the Bible down, that scripture comes into effect. He will, you know. So, like, And a lot of people think about Christians and they want to see the miracles. You know, they want to see Gordon walk on water or Gordon turn water into wine. But if you know any of them people, you should have brought them here today, because there's 20 miracles sitting up the back up there. What God has done in their life is just amazing. I see them miracles every day, I do. You know, and I just thank John and Chris and all the staff for having us, and thanks Gordon for here for having us every week, and Fiona, you're an amazing worship leader, and just thanks for having us, so I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Paul. Awesome. Isn't it awesome to see what God's doing, isn't it? We're just going to pray for John as he's going to come and he's going to share God's word, so let's pray right now. Father, I thank you. I thank you for Teen Challenge. I thank you for the ministry, Lord. I thank you that we have the privilege of being able to host and serve the men on a weekly basis. Lord, I thank you that you bless me and give me the opportunity to be down in the center and to be part of things on occasions. And Lord, it is a joy to see and to experience the reality of transformation. And Father, I want to pray right now for John, the center director. Lord, I want to pray that as he comes and as he shares God's word, Lord, that you would use him to speak. Lord, I thank you that you've given him a word. The word's already been confirmed this morning. And Lord God, I just pray, Lord, that you will use him now to speak to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, I pray it. Amen. 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 John. What's wrong?
Is it on? Are we on?
Yeah, you're on. You're on. You're on. You've got a tail hanging right
there. It's the tail you gave me. Well, nice to see you this morning. Some happy faces, some other faces that don't look so happy. you must have been here last time I was here. God bless you. Let me just pray for a wee second. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us to look into your word this morning, Lord, to find something that would help us to progress and develop and move forward. Lord, we don't want to be stagnant. We don't want to be stood still. We want to hear from you and do as you tell us to do, Lord. Yes. So help us, God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As Chris says, thanks very much for having us this morning. I couldn't help this morning, but I kept thinking about this idea of stepping in. So our message has totally changed from the one we gave the scriptures for the guys this morning. But this idea of stepping in, just when Chris was talking and Paul was talking, and not just about the guys on our Teen Challenge program, but even as a church. Do you know how often we stand on the outskirts of church life and we need to step in? Step into relationship. Step into what's going on, you know, in the fabric of the church. There are many things going on here. And, just so often we have in a bigger church where there's more people, so many just on the outskirts. Yeah. And we think to ourselves, we start saying things to ourselves, there's nothing really happening for me. You know, there's nobody really speaks to me. Nothing really happens for me. And it's like, well, you step in. You step in, the same as our guys on our Teen Challenge program. They can come and do a program, but they need to step into what God has for them. And it's really important that they do that, or all they will have at the end of their time with us is some behavior modification. And that's not what the Lord has for us. He has new life for us. Transformation, never to be the same again. And we don't get that sitting on the outskirts of church life. That's why the guys come to the program and we say to them, you're preparing just now to go and participate in church, not to go and sit in the outskirts of it. Mm-hmm. To go and be a pillar of your community, to go and be a man who other people come to for advice and to get help, where people come and say, well, if that guy's life has changed so much, then why can't mine? Yeah. Because we've all got problems, have we? Yeah. Or some of you don't seem to have problems in here. And we've all got problems. Yeah. We've all got issues, we've all got stuff that, you know, is in our mind that we're praying about, that we're thinking about, that we would love to see something happen with. We were singing a song earlier, Lord, send revival, start with me. Boom! Send revival, start with me. I mean, how many is, you know, we sing the song, but is it sinking in? We're coming up to Christmas time where we celebrate the birth of our Lord. What a time to reflect upon what has been, where we're really at in our lives, where we're really at. So when we say our lives, what we really mean is in our relationship with Him. Yeah. Where are we really at with that? Mm-hmm. Lord, send revival, start with me. Because we can become so critical, can't we, of everything else that's going on, observing everyone else and, you know, well, if they just changed this over here and if they just done that, and if they had that person doing that instead of that person, it's like, what? Wait a wee minute. Lord, send revival. Start with me. Start with me. Amazing. If you have a Bible, can you turn me to Matthew chapter 7? If you don't have a Bible, you can lean over someone else's shoulder. So this idea of, I want us to think about this idea of stepping into relationship with God. Yeah. Fully. Not being in the outskirts, fully stepping in. Amen? Amen? So keep that there. So we're doing Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read from verse 24. And this is well known to you, I'm sure, and most of you. The wise and the foolish builders. Yeah. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. Everybody say, a wise man.
A wise man.
Amen. Who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man. Everybody say, a foolish man. It's very descriptive, isn't it? A foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Amazed. Simplicity. Because he had taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. There's a scripture in the Message Bible that talks about the disciples coming to Jesus when he's talking through the parables. And they're saying, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean? And in the Message Bible, it's brilliant. And Jesus responds to the disciples and he says to them, because they don't understand, are you willfully being stupid? Yeah. Are you meaning that? Are you willfully being stupid? Like you don't know what to think. Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes that's what we need to do. Yeah. We need to think. And we don't spend enough time doing that. Now, the house that's being built, how many of you know that's a picture of our lives?
Yeah.
It's a picture of our lives. And one is a picture, the wise man, of building our lives according to God's word, walking with Jesus. And the foolish man builds his house on sand, which is a picture of a worldly life without God. And when the wind and waves come, in other words, when life happens, when the stuff in life happens that we tend not to cope too well with at times because we don't have God there to help us through these times, the house begins to sink and it falls apart. And I wonder how many of us in here today, we have relationship with Jesus, just we're on the outskirts of church life, and yet we say that we're building our house like a wise man building on rock. Yeah. So just think about that for a second, and I might have you all wrong. God bless you. But it seems to me that that's what we deal with in church, is trying to get people to step in. Mm. Trying to get people to acknowledge the calling of God on their lives. Right. that God has put something within every single one of us in this room just now that we're supposed to begin to walk in. That over time, as we have relationship with him, that amazing thing that's within us is revealed. And oftentimes, we never get to that place because we're too busy watching other people and watching other people build their houses and becoming critiques of the building that other people are doing. You ever see a critique? A critique goes into a restaurant and samples the food. Amen. Then writes a wee report on it. That was good. That was all right. It wasn't as good as Gordon Ramsay's. It wasn't, you know, whatever it is. They critique what's going on. They critique the atmosphere. They critique the table layouts and the decor within the room. And sometimes that's what we do as Christians instead of getting on with what we need to be getting on with. Uh-huh. God has a plan for your life. Yeah. Walk in it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, you walk in it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. We had John and Irene up earlier on. God bless you. 30, 40 years coming to church. That's what we want to see from our Teen Challenge graduates. Yes. Men who leave a program and go and participate in church life to such an extent where they become like oak trees in the place. Where other people come and find shelter underneath their branches.
Good.
Amazing.
Yes.
Lives totally and absolutely devoted and committed to Christ. Mm-hmm. In Isaiah chapter 55, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." Yes. Now think about the building of the houses here, the wise man and the foolish man. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways," says the Lord, declares the Lord. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." How many of you know if we want to get in a right relationship with God, we need to get to know him? Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
And how do you get to know someone? You spend time with them.
Yeah.
Amen. Like if I go on holiday with you for a fortnight, and we go for coffees every day, and we have meals and stuff like that. We have conversations. We find out about your background. You find out about mine. And by the end of those 2 weeks, you probably say, "I know John a whole lot better than I did before that period of time together." And our relationship with God is the same. Each day, we find some time to get into God's word.
Yeah.
And before we open that book, we say, "Lord, speak to me.
Yes.
I want to hear your voice.
Right.
I need help." There's one for you. Amen. "I need help." Amen. Did you get that? So we don't like saying that, do we? Like, "What do I need help with? I'm a made man. What are you? I need help." It's a big thing that, saying that, isn't it? "I need help." And then begin to talk with God about what it is exactly that you need help with. How many know God knows what you need help with? But you're in relationship, or you're supposed to be. And with relationship, there is dialogue as opposed to monologue. Amen. So we have conversation with God. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." If you want to begin to walk in the ways that I've called you into, you're going to need to get to know me. You're going to need to have relationship with me. Are we willing for that, do you think? Amen. Yeah. Okay, so the wise and the foolish builders. I want you to see how serious this is, how we're living this life with God. And it's all based on the scripture that comes before the wise and the foolish builders. So we're going to look at that. So in chapter 7 from verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And then straight into the wise and foolish builders. Mm-hmm. Amen. Do you think there's something in that? I do.
Yeah.
I think there's something in that. I think there's a reason that that's described for us in that way. That there is a risk there that we could be living our relationship with God in this way. that's like we're building on sand. You can come to church every week.
Yeah.
It can be like a club to you. This isn't a club. This is a place where you come together with other like-minded people in pursuit of Him.
Yeah.
Amen. In pursuit of God.
Yeah.
We have the worship time, and my goodness, mate, fantastic. But as we come before Him, we're supposed to be saying, God, I'm trying to open myself up to you here because I need help from you, and I want to have a relationship with you. Amen. How many of you get in here and all of a sudden you're thinking about all sorts of stuff? Absolutely doesn't matter. You're thinking about this one, that one. Did you feed the dog? Did you lock the door? Did you lock the car when you left it, wherever you left it? Absolutely, that's what happens. We need to be focused, disciplined in our relationship with God. Amen. Send revival, start with me. I was doing some figures recently about the Teen Challenge program. We're doing a thing called impact reporting. You heard of that?
Yeah.
Well, we're doing an impact report on Winchester House, and some of the first figures we looked at, in 3 years, we've had 26 graduates. 21 of them are doing fantastic. 5 of them have failed by the wayside. That gives us just over 80% success rate. That's fantastic. So for you guys up there on the Teen Challenge program just now, and you're wondering exactly what it is that you're supposed to be stepping into, that's it right there.
Uh-huh.
You finish your program, you do it properly, and you go and live your life for God.
Uh-huh.
And then you will find the woman that He has for you. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 through 2, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy." Anybody in here this morning who feels like they've had a pouring of God's mercy in their life?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't sound too sure.
Yeah.
Anybody had a pouring of God's mercy?
Yeah.
Like you're wondering today, maybe I shouldn't even be here this morning. How did I end up here this morning? I used to live under a bridge in Glasgow. I used to sleep inside an electrical box that hummed. It went meh all night. Seemed like that's what electrics do. And it was very hot as well. How did we end up here? How did you end up here this morning? Was it not an outpouring of God's mercy?
Yeah. Come on.
Amen. Is He not with you this morning?
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, stepping in. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. Amen. No coming to church on a Sunday. Amen. No putting your money in the wee basket. All these things are right and they're good and they should happen and God bless you, but that's not what it's about. Relationship. Relationship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's the renewed mind that becomes the wise man that builds the house on the rock. Amen. That's it. You're like, it's not as simple as that, it's all right for you. No, it's not. I've got three girls and a wife, 4 women in the house. My oldest daughter is 8 years old, and I had the first instance the other morning where I was about to go into the bathroom and she shot in front of me, boom, door snipped. My wife says, "Oh, you've got years of that." Amen. It's the renewed mind. Renewed by God. Amen. Renewed by God's word. Renewed through relationship with other like-minded people. Renewed through coming to church and participating in church life. Do you understand what I mean by that? Like not sitting on the outskirts of church, becoming involved with things. Family, brothers and sisters, conversations with one another. Positive, constructive, helping. Amen. How you know that's what that is, isn't it? Now, lots of us come from dysfunctional families where none of that happens. But we know that there's a better way and it should be different. And this is where you get, sometimes we have guys move on from Teen Challenge and essentially, usually the advice is this, see the man that you've become whilst you're in Teen Challenge. Now you have the opportunity to be who you really are meant to be in Christ. Go wherever you're going and be the man that God has called you to be. Because even in our relationship with God, when we walk with him, we can pick up some things that aren't very good for us along the way. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? And a lot of these things we need to drop. Like some of you will have a name for yourself. You know, like some of our guys, they have a name for themselves. Like some of them will be a wee bit loud. Some of them will be quiet like me. And they need to come out their shell a wee bit. They'll have other ones that are very angry. Any angry men in here? No. we get labels for different things. How many of you know we need to drop them off? You know, a lot of the time, these are the very things that God is speaking to us about, and he's probably been speaking to us about for years. Amen. We say to a guy, if you're the same 3 months into a Teen Challenge program as you were when you walked in, there's a problem. If you have the same relationship with God today that you had 5 years ago, there's a problem.
You're right.
Amen. Maturity in Christ, developing as we should. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to develop. We're supposed to progress. Will there be ups and downs in that? Absolutely. But we're supposed to step in. Keep moving forward. Don't give up. Amen. There's some of you feel like giving up sometimes. Don't give up. No. Talk to people. Mm-hmm. Amen. Sometimes we don't want to do that because we don't want to let people in. But we must.
Yes.
We must. That's what relationship is. That's what family is. We say, God, you've not sent anybody into my life that I can talk to. Rubbish. Garbage. Mm-hmm. The excuses need to drop to the floor. That's why you have a pastor. That's why you have elders.
Yeah.
That's why you have friends in the church that you're supposed to get to know. God has given us loads of people. One of the biggest things where guys, when they relapse back onto drugs again and stuff like that, they say, I had nobody to talk to. Come on.
Yeah.
Phone's always on.
Yeah.
Always on. Never off. Amen.
Amen.
There are people there that want to help you.
Yes.
So, the wise man and the foolish man. It's like two different kingdoms. The kingdom of God and some other kingdom that we find ourselves in sometimes. How many of you know we need to move ourselves over till we make sure that we're in the right place? You ever hear somebody say that? You'll speak to someone about an issue or something like that and they'll say, do you know what, I'm just not in the right place just now. You might have heard that this morning. I'm just not in the right place. How many of you know when you're in that place of not being the right place, it's up to you to step into the right place?
Come on.
Yep. Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, you might need help to do that, and that's fine, mm-hmm. but you need to let people in to help you.
That's right.
Let somebody take you by the hand when they have more strength than you do, and let them pull you into the right place.
Right.
Back into right relationship again.
Yes.
It's important.
Yeah. So good.
Because if you spend a lot of time in the wrong place, you acclimatize yourself to the wrong place and you begin to think it's the right place. Amen. Psychology lesson for you this morning. Don't let that be your testimony.
Yeah.
You know, someone who's on the fringes, who we would talk about in Teen Challenge, Mr. Neely made it, does all right for a wee bit. Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, I'm fine. If you're no fine, you need to tell somebody you're no fine. Because what we tend to do is point the finger at everybody else afterwards, blame them. We never gave them an opportunity to help us. Amen. We need to give other people the opportunity to be family to us. Rather than being God-sufficient, We become self-sufficient. What a place to be. Come to church every week and be self-sufficient. Singing songs, praying in tongues. We like that song we had. It was like an anthem for us at our Teen Challenge conference. Amazing songs we sing. And they seem to be getting better and better every year, don't they? All these different albums. You're just like, wow. I says to my wife, how do they write these songs? Going a wee bit off track here. So I'm going rogue. How do they write these songs? She says, do you want to pray? And they get into God's word. Amen. Because you think to yourself, man, that's amazing. How did they do that? I could never do anything like that. Oh, yes, you could. Oh, yes, you could. But you need to step in. You need to step in. You need to spend the time. Or guys, they say, oh, it's all right. You know, I could never get up in front of people and speak. Absolutely, you could.
Yeah.
Absolutely. How many of you know we shouldn't limit ourselves to what we can and can't do? What we say things to ourselves like, well, this is just the way I am. You know, I'm quiet and I'm, you know, and it's no, it's what you do. It's not who you are, it's what you do. And what you do needs to change.
Yes,
amen. And that's part of moving past being on the outskirts and stepping in.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
So hopefully, this coming week, hopefully what we'll have is a church full of people who are ready to step into something new. Because I don't know if I've offended you this morning, but by the look in some of your faces, maybe you need to step in. Maybe that's what you need. Maybe there's a barrier there of denial within you. You're like, no, I don't need to step into nothing. You're the first person that needs to step in.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
You need to get past all your insecurities, all your fears. Let them drop to the ground. Begin to open your mouth, speak to people, and step in. Call a meeting with the pastor. Tell him. Be honest with him. Do you know what? I've not stepped into my calling. I've not been doing what I should have been doing. Can we have a conversation about that? How I can contribute more to church life? What can I do? Amen.
Yeah.
If you've not got the time, you need to make the time. Because your relationship with God is the most important thing in our lives. Amen. Yeah. 2 Chronicles 7, we'll finish with this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land.
Amen.
Amen. But who needs a miracle this morning? Everybody here needs a miracle. Well, you want to get this mob out here praying for yous. Amen.
They're just the honest ones.
They're just the honest ones. I need a miracle. You know, guys see me on a week by week basis, and they think you're just what you present on a Monday morning. Well, you know, we are living life.
Yeah.
We have families. Stuff that we're concerned about, stuff that comes up week to week that you're like, Lord, help me. You know, a lot of the time, because of that self-sufficiency, we don't go to the place where we need to go. That's not where we go. There are guys in our program. A lot of the time, they're on the phone to be mammies and all that. Go, help me. Your mammy can't help you. She's done everything she could. That's why you're in Teen Challenge. It's time to stand up. It's time to get some backbone for your life. It's time to, God, I need help. I need help. Your wee mammies have been praying it for years. That's why you're where you are. How many of us in church need to do that?
Yeah.
We need to start getting some backbone for our lives. Mm. Yeah?
Yeah?
I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't look too sure again. That's it. We need to ask God to help us with that. To be the man, to be the woman that he's called us to be and not settle for something else. You know that settling that we do? Some of you are in that place today. You've settled somewhere that you should never have settled. God tells us in his word, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yet in the scripture it says he lies down beside the quiet waters. I mean, you know, you're supposed to lie down beside the quiet waters, knowing the valley of the shadow of death. Some of you have laid down in the wrong place. Amen.
Yeah.
You need to pick yourself up and get yourself beside the quiet waters.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen, God bless you. Thanks for having us this morning. I hope that you will step in this week and that you will continue on with that.
Amen.
Gordon stole my message in his prayer at the beginning. God bless him. Thank you very much.
Amen. I tell you, God has sent an assassin amongst us to kill off the old man so that the new man in Christ would come alive. Isn't it right? Yeah. I think we all needed to hear that, didn't we? Even if we've already stepped in, to keep on stepping in, keep on stepping up and keep on stepping out. Let's pray. Worship team, do you want to come back and join me? Would you stand with me, church? Father, this morning, we say wow, we say ouch, we say yes. Father, I pray right now that if we are in the right place, we would continue to be in the right place, that we would choose the right place. We'd be asking the question, Lord, what am I to do? What am I to be? Is there more? Lord, if we are in the wrong place, then Father, I pray this word would be like a wake-up call. Lord, it would be like a bucket of water thrown over us so that we're aware of the urgency and of the reality of our need to move. Father, I thank you that you love us enough not to leave us in our sin, in our wrong thinking, in our compromise, in our living beneath the level and the standard that you have called us to. Father, I thank you that you don't beat us up, but you invite us to a place of healing and of restoration. Father, I thank you that you are the God who truly says the old is gone and the new has come in Jesus. So, Father, we choose to root our lives in Christ. We choose his foundation to be our foundation. We choose his ways to be our way. And we do that, Jesus, knowing that you said, if anyone would come after me, they need to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow. So this morning, Lord, we offer up individual prayers of the circumstances and the stuff of our life. But Lord, we deny ourselves. We take up our cross and we follow Christ. From the most lukewarm to the most on fire in this room right now, we afresh come and affirm our loyalty, our commitment, our faith, our surrender to the way of Jesus. Because without you, we're lost, we're sunk, we're hopeless. But with you, all things are possible. With you, men and women of God can be released into their destiny. But with you, broken people can be put back together, broken families can be put back together, broken communities can be put back together, broken society can be put back together, a broken nation can be put back together. So Lord, today we say we are stepping in to all the fullness of God. We step in on Sunday, we step in on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right through next Saturday, Lord, we're stepping in. Lord, show us practically what that looks like. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're going to sing. We're going to worship as we get